Let's open our Bible to Acts chapter 1. New Testament, Acts chapter 1. From verse 6, I'll read from verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive powers when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. It's up to there. Both the Old and New Testament, everything in the Bible, we can summarize all of that into two things. And what did I say they were? Nobody's answering. If students don't answer, what can I do? What should I do? First is the history of mankind in God's view. The history of mankind in God's view. And what's the other? That is God's plan towards the mankind. So please do not forget these two things. First is the history of mankind in God's view. That's what we are learning now. From the moment God began the history of mankind, and when this pre-appointed time finishes, the mankind history will come to an end also. And all the things that have taken place in the history of mankind are recorded in the Bible. But if you look at Psalm chapter 59, verse 13, it says, Among Jacob, among Israel, so that they may let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. There's a scripture that says that this Bible is the history of mankind with Israel in the center. Geographically, Israel is in the center of the world, and historically, the world history unfolds and it is determined according to the history of Israel. We have learned world history in schools, but when we study the Bible, we actually need to learn world history again and revise the history. When the ancient history was at its most advanced form in Egypt, we know that Israel had lived in Egypt for 400 years, and that's written in Genesis and also in Exodus. And after Israel escaped from Egypt, we know that the civilization that rules that time was Assyrian civilization. And if you look at the Bible, Assyria is a rod that God uses to beat Israel up when they do not listen to God. When Israelites disobey God's words and do not listen to God, and God uses other Gentile nations to beat Israel. And the rod that God uses is Assyria. So God actually used Assyria to beat Israel, but when this rod becomes arrogant, God will break this rod up. So this Assyria was destroyed after using Assyria to beat Israel, to punish Israel. And after that is the Babylonian civilization, Babylonian brilliant civilization. And when its civilization was at its peak, the Israelites were taken as captives, prisoners to Babylon for 70 years. And all the gold and all the wealth that Solomon had gathered were actually moved to Babylon kingdom, Babylon Empire, and that's the golden age of Babylonian Empire. And so Babylon and Israel, they also have direct relationship between them. And we have the civilization of Medes and Persia. And they also have direct relationship with Israel. And after that is Greek Empire and Roman Empire. And all these kingdoms, if you look at the areas where they ruled, if you look at according to the history, we know that it is all with Israel in the center. Go back and study for yourselves if it's not this case or not. And when Israel was ruled by Roman Empire, Israel was really in the center of the areas where Roman Empire was in power. And even now, the world history is unfolding with Israel in its center. Simply put, the people who are moving the world, who are they? Which country has the most power, influential power in the world? And that can be said that quite safely we can say is America, United States of America. But all those people with real power behind the presidents and all the leaders of America, the Jews. And also we know that the power of Europe is quite big these days. And many countries with worldwide influence are in Europe now. And these Jews who are living in Europe, European Jews, they have control over economy and also finance and politics of Europe. Even Russian politicians are manipulated by the powerful Jews behind them. If I say these things to you, you might say, oh, that's too much, it's an exaggeration, but study it for yourself to see if it's not the case. If it's not, you'll be quite amazed at what you'll find. The rise and fall of Israel is really what God uses to rule the world. But as I told you before, the Israelites rejected Jesus Christ, and that sin is unforgivable. It's a great sin. They broke the law. They worshipped idols. These sins, they were punished right away using the Gentile nations. Sometimes they were given some plagues, natural disasters. And the biggest of those punishments is the captives in Babylon for 70 years. And since then, by Babylon, Persian, and Roman empires, they were trampled upon by these strong nations and they were colonies. And they lived through 600 years of colonial period under so much pain and agony. And in the end, because of the sin of rejecting the Messiah sent by God, God scattered the people of Israel all over the world. And for 1,900 years, for a long time, do you know how long that is, 1,900 years? Before 1,900 years, they were scattered all over the world. And this Israel, no long, long time ago, once upon a time, there was a country called Israel, 1,900 years ago. It's like a myth or legend. But in the end times, these Israelites will come back to their own land and become a strong nation. by driving out even stronger nations than them and become a strong army. This is the prophecy in the Bible, and that has been fulfilled in our time. We are living in a very crucial time in the history. Through the Bible, if you look at the people of Israel, you can get to know God. And also you can see that God is ruling the world. And you also will see where this world is heading towards. Among the Jews, there are people who believe in Jesus Christ. I've read some of those books that were written by them. The cover of one of the books had a clock that indicates 5 minutes to 12 o'clock. And the title of the book was Israel, God's Timepiece. Israel is God's timepiece. It's like a watch. That's true. If you look at Israel, we know what time in the human history we are living in now. If you know the time, if you see your watch, you can actually know the time. So if you know Israel, you know where this world is heading, and you know how close the end time is near. And if you look at Israel, you can know all these things. That's why to learn Israel is very important. Why do we have to learn history of Israel? Because history of Israel is God's work, God's masterpiece. We sometimes see the artwork of people who lived, many hundreds and many thousands of years ago. And although we do not experience the culture in those times, we can actually see the cultures, their lifestyles, and the things that they were thinking about through their work. In a similar way, God is not visible, but if you look at the history of Israel, we can get to know God and what kind of person He is. God doesn't say, just believe in me without any proof, in vain. He doesn't do that. He actually lets us know about Him through His work in real life. We sometimes read books that are written by famous writers of long time ago. If you read those books, we can actually get to know what the writer, the author, thought about his ideas and about his mental state and so on. So to investigate and study about Israel is very important because God reveals Himself to the world through Israel. That's why the Jewish people, Israelites, are the witness of God. If you look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, it says, "You are my witnesses," says the Lord to the Israelites. The scriptures that we read from Acts says Jesus died on the cross as prophesied in the Old Testament. And he was raised from death in 3 days. So he died according to the Bible. He rose from death according to the Bible. And for 40 days he showed himself to many people after resurrection. Jesus, after resurrection, did not disappear like a cloud, but he went around and showed himself to 40 people. Jesus, after resurrection, had spiritual body that could disappear and appear at once. The doors were all locked and he appeared in the middle of the room. When 100 soldiers are walking in lines and another set of 100 soldiers can walk through the other 100 soldiers, a little bit like that, Jesus can go through some materials. We know that the materials are made up of elements, atoms. And Jesus had some spiritual body that can actually penetrate these bodies of atoms, just like radio waves can penetrate some solids, some materials and objects. So Jesus could appear and disappear at once, spiritual body. Of course, that body is a body that will never die. So Jesus went around and saw all the scattered disciples and gathered them together. Judas of Iscariot committed suicide, so he couldn't be called upon, but all the other disciples were called upon by Jesus who resurrected. The disciples had been following Jesus for 3.5 years, and when Jesus became a king, then they thought they could hold a high position in that kingdom. So what they were interested was, what positions they were going to hold. James And John, their mother actually requested Jesus to get their sons to sit on both right and left hand of Jesus Christ. And that the other disciples knew that, and that the other disciples got very jealous. No matter how hard you try, the minister of the state will be my position, said Peter. And Judas probably said, oh, I will be the financial minister, minister of the finance. And maybe he was going to get some bribes and build his own private wealth. But Jesus said, I will die on the cross and I will rise from death after 3 days. But many times, although Jesus said this many times, the disciples did not recognize this. They were wondering why he was saying such things, and what a strange thing he says. They probably thought that way. If you have wrong ambitions, you do not hear other things, other ideas. So when Jesus was seized, the disciples were disappointed greatly, and even Judas even betrayed Jesus and sold him for 30 silvers. And the rest of them all fled and ran away. The most courageous, Peter, followed Jesus at a distance. And when people were saying, this is the disciple of Jesus, he said, I am not. I am not. Three times he said, I curse Jesus. And he swore that he did not know Jesus. How cowardly was he? Now these coward disciples, would they have put themselves in dangerous situations of persecution just for the sake of Jesus who was falsely resurrected? Do you think they made that up, the coward disciples? No. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, Jesus actually appeared to 500 people at once at the same time. They could not have possibly seen Jesus as a false vision at the same time. And when many people were watching him, he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. I've been to this place where Jesus ascended to heaven 3 times. The scriptures we read just now is the conversation between Jesus Christ and the disciples just before his ascension. The disciples asked him a question that they were always curious about. If you look at the Old Testament, there is a prophecy of the fall of Israel, but there is also prophecies of rise and restoration of Israel. There are many prophecies of destruction of Israel in the Old Testament, but it will not be forever. When the time comes, there are prophecies that says Jesus, that Israel will be recovered and restored and become a strong nation. And with Israel in the center, this world will have the kingdom of God. But Israel was destroyed about 600 years before Jesus came by Babylonian Empire in B.C. 586. So they asked Jesus, is it this time that you are going to restore the kingdom of Israel? That was the prophecy. And they expected Jesus to restore Israel, but Jesus was killed on the cross, and their expectation was broken, shattered. And when Jesus rose from death, you know, their expectation was reborn, reincarnated. So they were asking, now you're alive, are you going to restore Israel again? And resurrected Jesus Christ could not be seized or captured or be killed. And with such a power, they thought there wouldn't be any problem of conquering the Roman Empire and restoring Israel as the kingdom of God. So is it this time that you will do this? Jesus said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Israel will be restored. What God said will not be cancelled, and it will be done as he said. As per the prophecy of restoration of Israel, Israel will be restored, but the time and season has been put in God's own authority. It is still far away. It is not important that Israel is recovering or restored, but more than that, not only Israel, but all the people who were created in God's image, all those people who left God, who were lost, the spirits became the prisoners of Satan, and they are being dragged down into hell under the power of Caesar and Roman soldiers. You know, the Israelites were under the power of Roman empires. They were not to be pitied, but the spirits who are being dragged into hell because of sins and Satan, their souls are to be pitied even more. It was not God's will, and it was not important to make Israel a wealthy and strong kingdom. But what God was interested in at the time was not only for the Jews, but for the people of the world to be recovered from death and take them into the kingdom of God, who are otherwise to be lost because of their sins and Satan. There's no eternal kingdom in this world. There's no true hope. There's no true eternal life in this world. The thing that God wants to give us is something that does not have death or sickness or pain, but eternal and glorious kingdom of God. God wants to give us this kingdom as inheritance. To go into the kingdom, we need to be saved. With sin, you cannot enter that kingdom. So God first has to do the work of forgiving sins through Jesus Christ, and as a result, the gospel will be preached all over the world, and He has to prepare the people to enter into the kingdom of God. That's the first thing to do. You first seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Personally, the kingdom of God has to be fulfilled, and we have to be blessed. We have to receive the blessing of entering into His kingdom. And then after that, we have to live according to God's will. If we do that, only that, then the things that we need physically will be added unto us as a bonus. What God does, the first thing that God does is to save the spirits of sinners. After He makes all the people who will go into the kingdom of God, after that, then He will actually restore this world and turn it into paradise. And what Adam failed, God will restore that. And through Jesus Christ, this world will be made into like Garden of Eden, and for 1,000 years, we will reign like kings, and there will be heavenly kingdom on this earth, and after that, we will go into eternal heaven. But that will happen after that. The gospel has to be preached first, so that time is not near yet. And the time and season is in God's authority, so it is not really up to you to know. You don't have to know now. But what you have to do is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, after Jesus ascended into heaven, after 10 days on the Pentecost, Holy Spirit came upon them. If you look at Leviticus, 1,500 years before Jesus' time, there's a prophecy of Jesus' death, that Jesus will die on the Passover day. And the feast of the first harvest is the resurrection. That symbolizes resurrection. And from that, after seven Sabbaths, 49 days, and 50th day after that is the Pentecost. For 40 days, Jesus showed Himself to the people, and after His ascension, 10 days after that, on the 50th day after His resurrection, on the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. So if you look at Acts chapter 2, on the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And with the power, you will witness Me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. The gospel, the truth that God has completed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That anyone, if anyone believes in that gospel, he will be saved. Now this gospel first has to be preached to all of the world, to the ends of the world. And you will be witness of Myself. That's what Jesus said. So before Israel is restored, the gospel first has to be preached all over the world, and the people to enter into God's kingdom must be prepared. Before the restoration of Israel, the people who will enter into the kingdom of God will be must be prepared. And after he had said this, Jesus blessed them, and Jesus' feet left this earth, and he was ascended into heaven. Many people who were present at that place looked upon Jesus, and Jesus disappeared into the clouds. And the people did not leave that place, and they were looking, gazing up into the sky. Perhaps if the cloud disappears, I might see Jesus again. Or maybe Jesus was sent into heaven, will probably come back. And they were looking up into the sky. But the two angels in white apparel came to them and said, "Now, men of Galilee, why are you looking up into the heaven? He has ascended. He is gone. He was taken up. And he will come back just the way he went up." Because he promised that he will come back. The first coming, Jesus came to die on the cross to save sinners. But the second coming, the returning Jesus Christ, will come to take away born-again Christians and to judge unsaved people. The first coming, Jesus Christ, he came to sow the seed. And the second coming, Jesus Christ, will come to reap what he has sown, to gather the crops into the barn and to put the chaff into the fire, unquenchable fire. That's why Jesus has to come back for the second time. And he will come back as he was taken up. Since after he was taken up on the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And starting from Jerusalem, the gospel has been preached all over the world. Now we are living in the Far East. To the West, into the Europe, the gospel was spread, to America. And to the North, Soviet Union. And South, Africa. And East, Asia. All over the world, the gospel has been preached. And this Bible was translated into 2,377 languages. And there's no one who can say, "I didn't hear the gospel and that's why I wasn't saved." And if you look at Matthew chapter 24, it says, the end of the world will come after the gospel has been preached all over the world. Now the gospel has been preached all over the world. Now, just like the disciples asked this question to Jesus, if we ask the same question to the Lord now, what would he say? Would he say, "Oh, it's still far away, it's not up to you to know"? Would he say that? If you look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 32, in Jesus saying, he said, "Learn from this parable of the fig tree." Fig tree symbolizes Israel. So in the Old Testament, when Israelites disobeyed God, he said, the Bible says, "You are like the bad fig that cannot be eaten." Jesus sometimes cursed a fig tree. And Matthew chapter 23 verse, in that scripture, Jesus cursed a bad fig tree without any figs. And that represents Israel that will be destroyed because they did not accept Jesus Christ and rejected him. And they were like this fig tree without any figs. They had a lot of leaves but no figs. And that tree symbolizes Israel that will be destroyed. And that's what Jesus showed the disciples through this cursing the bad fig tree. But he said, this Israel will not be destroyed forever. Even the fig tree that looks as if it is dead during the winter, when summer comes, the branch will become tender and it'll put forth leaves. Israel has been through a long winter for 2,000 years. They were destroyed utterly. They were scattered all over the world. Wherever they went, they were persecuted and killed and discriminated. And people thought Israel was destroyed like a withered fig tree. But learn from the parable of fig tree. And that means you have to learn about history of Israel. And when the branch has become tender, you shall know that the summer is near. And when you see all these things, know that the Son of Man is at the doors. When the leaves come out of the tree, you will know that the summer is near. And that means when you see Israel being restored, you will know that the end of the world and the second coming of Jesus Christ is near. There are many signs of the end of the ages, and one of the most important signs is the restoration of Israel. If you see Israel being restored, you shall know that the Son of Man is near, at the door. May 14, 1948, Israel declared independence. In 1967, June 7th, they liberated Jerusalem. After 1,900 years, they reclaimed Jerusalem. Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel. And the people of the world are going back to Israel, and they have become a very powerful nation, very strong army. Although the population is small, they have absolute power in this world stage. Isn't that strange? In our time, Israel is being restored. And before the generation that sees the restoration of Israel is past, the end will come. From the restoration of Israel until the coming of Jesus Christ is not long. And while the people who witness the restoration is alive, that will happen. Some people say one generation is 40 years or something, but it's not in the Bible. But as long as the people are still alive in the generation, that's our generation. The signs are there for the people who will actually see the real event. So when Jesus prophesied about the end of the world, he said, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones the one who was sent to her, and the blood of Jesus, blood of the price of this blood will be upon you. And the people who killed Jesus and who saw the killing of Jesus while they were alive, Israel was destroyed. So while the people who saw Israel being restored are still alive, then this real event, the second coming of Jesus Christ, will happen. The signs are for the people who have seen the signs. And from the restoration of Israel until the second coming of Jesus Christ, how long is that? It is in our time. 58 years ago from now, Israel, a country called Israel, did not exist in this world. Where was it? Suddenly Israel was reborn. 2,600 years after the destruction, they declared independence. What country on earth has done anything like that? And how is it that the scattered people, the persecuted people, the people who are under the killing and mass murder, how is it that they came back and declared independence? Small countries, other countries may have declared independence, but nothing like Israel. And this is the sign for the end of the world, end times. While we are alive, it is without a doubt that the Lord will come back. We do not know the time or the season. Nobody knows the hour or the time or the day. But we can be sure that Jesus will come back in our time. As I know the Bible, all the signs for the coming of Jesus Christ, second coming of Jesus Christ, have been fulfilled. There is none that hasn't been fulfilled. If there is, try to find it. What other sign is there? Jesus can even come back today. All the things that are happening around the world are not really the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ, but what will happen during that's the preparation and the preview of what will happen during the 7 years of tribulation after Jesus' coming. So Israel was really restored in our time. Something that the Israelites really looked forward to. And the restoration of Israel that the disciples were so much interested about, it is this time. Is it this time that you will restore Israel? That time is now, our time. Now we now see the fig tree, not only shooting forth leaves, but it is just about to bear fruit. Israelites will come back to their land, and some of them will be saved. And that's really their fruit. There are a few purposes that God chose Israel. There are a few purposes that God chose Israel to be restored. God's name was defiled as a result of Israelites being scattered all over the world. The land became desolate, deserts. And the people were scattered all over the land, the world. And the Gentile power is ruling over the Holy Land. And the people of Israel, the God's people, are killed so miserably all over the world, and people will think, oh, God must be dead. God of Israel must be dead. many years ago, in America, there was a theological PhD, but I think he's really the devil's PhD. He actually came to Yihua Women's University and gave a lecture, and the topic was God is dead. And one of the reasons why he said God is dead is because God does not punish those wicked people in the world right away. And if God punishes all the sinners right away, do you think he would be alive? There will be no one who will remain alive if God punishes and kills those people who commit sins. Now is not the time to judge the sinners, but this is a time that God endures and patiently waits for the sinners. But when this time finishes, God will judge this world without mercy. But that person, he didn't know the Bible, and that's why he said those things. And one more thing is this: God's people are the Israelites. But the Israelites, even though they were killed and persecuted, God left them alone. God left them to their killings and persecutions, and that's why God is dead. And this was reported in Christian newspaper. And when you see God is not helping Israelites, does that mean God is dead? How long has it been since this Israel was restored and declared independence? And he's really a fool. Does not know anything. There are so many Satans and devils who oppose God these days. Now these days, now you hear about this Da Vinci Code. Is that right? Now this is something made up by the devils. They try to make this Bible into a laughing stock, ridiculous story. Through death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and salvation that was achieved through that, they want to make this into a laughing stock and ridiculous story, ludicrous. Other than this Bible, what they have, this the Gospel of Judah, and it was only discovered recently. Judas committed suicide after selling Jesus Christ. And they say Judas did not commit suicide. Do you think that's all? There are all kinds of, all sorts of things. Because the devil is trying very hard so that people cannot believe in the Bible. In America, there are even churches of Satan. That's true. And I told you about that theological PhD who says God is dead. There are people like that. The purpose of restoring Israel is to show that God is alive. Although Israel is destroyed, God is not. God is not dead. And another purpose of restoring Israel is to save the nation of Israel. So many Jews now do not believe in Jesus. They only believe in God, Jehovah, in the Old Testament, but not the New Testament. They say Jesus who died on the cross is not the Messiah, and they're still waiting for the King of Kings. That's the Judaism. Of course, there are some Jews who believe in Jesus Christ. I've been to Israel and taught the Bible to Jewish pastors, and I actually held some Bible seminars in Jewish churches. And this movement of believing in Jesus, turning to Jesus for the Jews, he is very active now. But so many Jews until now do not believe in Jesus who died on the cross, and they only believe in God. They are still waiting for the King, the Messiah who will come as the King of Kings. They would go back to their land and they will have national repentance. And the gospel that started from Israel has been preached all over the world, and it comes back to Israel, and that's the end. You plant rice on the right seedbed, and actually you plant those young rice onto the field. And right at the end, you actually plant young rice plants on this rice seedbed. So the Bible says, even if there are a lot of children of Israel like the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. The remnant will be saved. They will think that the Israelites are all dead, but the remnant, the remaining Israel, will be saved by going back to their land, and after that is the end of the world. And that's a very accurate prophecy. And there is one more reason God restores Israel. The Jews who rejected Jesus Christ, they were beaten up using the Gentile nations, but the gospel, while the gospel is being preached, the Gentiles who do not believe in Jesus Christ will be punished using Israel, and this is the last war. The last war will happen in Israel, a place called Armageddon. And this war is not a war where some people will win and some people will lose. And this is a war between Israel and the rest of the world. And this is the war where God judges the world using Israel, and this will be the nuclear war. So if you look at Ezekiel chapter 39 and also Zechariah chapter 14, it talks about the nuclear war. And it says, while people are alive and standing, their flesh and their tongues will dissolve while they stand up. Many years ago, I actually talked with the professor of international affairs in John Nam University, and he was not a believer of Jesus. And I talked to him about Israel for a long time, about the wars and conflicts and all these Middle East problems. Now, all the things that are happening, events that are happening in Israel, that started 4,000 years ago from the household of Abraham, in one household. And that's where it started. Egypt is the children of Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham. And Syria and Lebanon are the sons of the Abraham's concubine. And Jordan and Saudi Arabia, all these people, are the descendants of Lot, the nephew of Abraham and also Ishmael. And Iraq is the hometown of Abraham. And Israel is the children of Abraham that God promised and who received the blessing of God. They are all descendants of Abraham, one person. So this is the fight against the people in one household. If you look at Genesis, it says the son of the concubine of Abraham was fighting against Isaac, the son of Abraham. And God said to Abraham, let the mother Hagar and also the son Ishmael drive them out of your household. So if you go to the Middle East, you see this name Ishmael very often. And also from Jacob and Esau, Jacob took the blessing away from Esau. And even now, they are trying to kill each other and fighting. And I told him about the origin and the cause of this war. And I told him about the situation until now. And he said, are there things like that in the Bible? And I said, yes, of course there are. Do you think the Bible is a moral and ethical book? Do you think Bible is a religious book? The Bible is a history book until the end of the world. And in the end times, and I told him about the war in the end times, and I showed him Ezekiel and Zechariah, that the nations of the world will come and fight against Israel. And at that time, God will fight against the countries that come down to fight against Israel, and the plagues that will fall upon these nations will be like this, and their tongues and flesh shall dissolve while they're standing up. And I told him about that, and he said, oh, isn't this the nuclear war? And I said, of course it is about, is a description about nuclear war. If nuclear weapon goes off, you don't have time to fall down. Firstly, your eyes and your tongues with a lot of moisture, most moisture will dissolve, and your flesh will dissolve away from your bones. And this is as a result of the nuclear war. There are all kinds of strange things in the Bible. And this is the judgment of God upon the Gentile nations using Israel. This last war will also erupt without fail. Now, there are prophecies of the destruction of Israel and also restoration of Israel. And let's have a look at these once more and have a look at Leviticus chapter 26. Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 33. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 33. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Here I means God. You is Israel. So I will scatter you, Israel, among the nations. Let's have a look at this for a while. Now, this is the prophecy about the punishment upon Israel. And the first is to scatter the people all over the world. The second is to have a sword following after them. And that means killing and persecution. That means that after they are scattered all over the world, then the killing will follow. And your land will go desolate and your cities waste. The land of milk and honey, the land of Canaan, this was a very fertile land. But this land will go desolate and cities will be made waste. Now, how can you be destroyed more than this? Now, this is the prophecy that was written 1,500 years ago before Jesus' coming as a result of rejecting Jesus Christ. But this really was fulfilled and it happened as per this prophecy. Luke chapter 21. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. This is the desolation of Jerusalem and its prophecy. Let's look at verse 22. For these are the days of the desolation of Jerusalem. These are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written in the Old Testament may be fulfilled. So this is the day that Israel is judged, as written in the Old Testament. Verse 23. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. So the pregnant people will be killed and the little babies will be thrown on the ground. And these are the prophecies. Verse 24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. If you look at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 33, this prophecy is same as what Jesus prophesied here. They will be killed by the edge of the sword, and they will be taken as captives into all nations, that's scattering all over the world. And the sword will follow after them. Now this is the killing wherever they go. And they will be scattered all over the world, and the land will become desolate. And at the same time, Jerusalem will be trampled upon by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. For Jerusalem to be trampled upon by the Gentiles, it's not like Seoul being trampled by North Koreans. Jerusalem is a holy city. It's a place of God's promise. It's where God's temple is. It's a place where you worship God. But this Jerusalem to be trampled upon by the Gentiles is an unbearable humiliation to the Israelites. But it is not to be trampled forever, but until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Until a certain period of time. The times of the Gentiles, what does that mean? From Abraham to Jerusalem, to Jesus Christ, from Abraham to Jesus is for about 2,000 years, that's the times of the elect, the chosen people. And as a result of rejecting Jesus Christ, the blessing that was to be given upon the Jewish people are now given on the Gentile people, and the gospel is preached all over the world, and that's the times of the Gentiles. All the countries other than Israel are Gentiles. We are also Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles are the times where the gospel is being preached to all over the world. And during that time, Israelites will be scattered all over the world, and the sword will follow after them. The land will be desolate, and Jerusalem will be trampled upon by the Gentiles. Jerusalem has been trampled upon by the Gentiles continuously. Roman, Eastern Roma, Arab, Turkey, Crusade, and Turkey, and also Great Britain. And they were trampled upon by the Gentiles continuously. Then what happens after the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled? It means that everything will be back to original position. When the times are fulfilled, times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, Israel will be restored. The desolate land will become fertile once again. The sword and the killing that followed after the Jews will be given freedom. And the people who were scattered all over the world will come back to their land. So they are all restored to the original state. We have seen Israel declaring independence in our time, liberating Jerusalem. The land of Israel that was desolate has now turned into fertile. The deserts, desolate lands have turned to fertile land, and they have become strong armies and great strong nation after they return to their land. It is not completely restored, but it is being restored very rapidly and very actively. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So Israel has recovered Jerusalem. Does that mean the times of the Gentiles is finished? In 1967, on June 7th, they liberated Jerusalem. Then, now Jerusalem is not trampled upon by the Gentiles. Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel. But when I was in Jerusalem, I found out the reason. In 1987 March, when I went to Israel for the first time, I really wanted to see the desolate land turning into the fertile land. And one more thing was, Jerusalem is already back in the hands of the Jewish people, but why is it that the times of the Gentiles are not finished? My curiosity was solved. If you look at the picture of Jerusalem, you see this golden dome. This is not the temple of the Jews, but this is the temple of the Muslims, Muslim temple. Since the temple in Jerusalem was burned after AD 70, right at the place they built this Muslim temple. The three holy places for the Muslims are the Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem. So those pilgrims go to that place, this temple, Muslim temple. When you go in there, you are searched just like you enter into an aircraft. They use metal detectors and they open your handbags. And that's because sometimes extremists, the Jewish extremists, sometimes try to destroy this Muslim temple. A Jewish youth was discovered with dynamite as he tried to smuggle the dynamite into the place. Because they prepared everything to build their temple, the Jewish people. And they say, give us this land. The Muslims say, we will never give this land, this place to you. If they forcefully destroy the Muslim temple, then the 1.3 billion Muslims around the world will stage a war against Israel. And then the condition will turn uncontrollable. That's why, because they know that even if they want to destroy this temple by even if they have to use the force, but they don't do it. And when you go into this Muslim temple, you can't wear shoes, you can't take cameras, and you can't take your bags, you can't take anything. And there are no chairs in that place. And there is only a rock in the center of the temple. And they say that's the rock where Abraham sacrificed Isaac 4,000 years ago. And that's where the temple was built. But that temple was destroyed. But the Muslim temple is in that place. That place, the temple of God must be built in that place. Now this time, just a few days ago, our pastors and brothers and sisters have been to Israel on a pilgrim's trip, but they couldn't enter this Muslim temple. From about 2 years ago, they restricted entrance by the tourists into that Muslim temple because they didn't want to cause any trouble, and they it was very unpredictable. So the tourists cannot go into the Muslim temple now. The most important place in Jerusalem is now trampled by the Gentiles. That's why the times of the Gentiles are not finished yet. Some people say, oh, so until they build the temple in that place, I can still be safe and I don't have to be saved until then. If you think, that's not the problem. Those people who are putting off salvation, who want to be saved at a later time, the Bible says, do not boast about tomorrow because you do not know what a day may bring forth. You may die even today. Then how can you be sure that you will be saved after a few days or few years? You can go to church at any time you want, but you cannot be saved in the future. You cannot guarantee that. Isaiah chapter 55 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When someone is talking to you about the Gospels, when someone is talking to you about salvation, that's the chance. When the chance is gone, you cannot be saved again. And before the temple is built in Jerusalem, Jesus will return for the second time in the air. It looks like the Middle East will have peace, but it's not happening. Do you know why? Because if the peace comes to the Middle East, then the end will come very quickly. Only as long as the peace is not in the Middle East completely, then we still have time to preach the gospel to the people of the world. The Palestinians and Israelites, they still fight, and they must be sick of fighting against each other, but they are still fighting since their independence. They are killing and they are killed, and this bloodshed is continuing. And we know that the Prime Minister of Israel is Sharon. And since he became the Prime Minister, more than a thousand Jews were killed as a result of conflict and bombing terrorists. When I was in Israel, 700 were killed until up to that time. And many more would have been killed until now. Palestinians were killed even more than the Jewish people. When they stage a bomb suicide bombing, Israelites use tanks and missiles. And they never give in. The Jewish people never give in. And the world peace, the peace will come to that place. But they don't have that now, so they actually had built a great wall between the Palestinians and the Jewish people. Why? Because they can sometimes, the Palestinians, just bring bombs on their body, on themselves, and just blow themselves up. And if I have to die to kill the Jews, then they think that is the glorious death. And they think that is the will of their God, Allah. It's quite fearful. So if you go to Israel, you don't know when and where the bomb will go off. That's why Palestinians are restricted from the settlements of the Jewish people. And it's really bloody and very unstable. But the peace will come to that place. And if the peace comes, of course this is false peace, but still the world will be quiet. And the end of the world is coming very soon. But in any case, the persecution of Israel is finished and they are being restored quite actively. Let's have a look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. From verse 8. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people, Israel, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. Now this is a prophecy that was recorded 2,600 years ago from now. And it says, Israelites are scattered all over the world and the land has turned desolate, but it'll return to the fertile land. The mountains of Israel, it says. We have mountains in Korea, but also Israel has a lot of mountains. You shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel. These are the mountains, but these mountains do not have trees. Because of the lack of rain, it is mountains without any trees, desolate land. But in those places you shall plant trees, and the branches will be shoot forth, and you will yield fruit to my people of Israel, for they are about to come. The Israelites are about to come back to their land, because that time is near. The land should be ready to receive them. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you. You know, God has turned back to them, and you shall be tilled and sown. The Israelites will till and sow the land of Israel. And I will multiply men upon you, and all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. Now this prophecy has been fulfilled. It came true in our time. In AD 70, after Israel was destroyed and after they were scattered all over the world, Israel, the land of Israel, became desolate. But in our time, it has turned to a fertile land. In 1987, March, when I went to Israel for the first time, I first arrived in Cairo, in Egypt. And using a coach, we traveled through the Suez Canal and through the Sinai Peninsula. During this Six-Day War, Israel actually took possession of the Sinai Peninsula, but they gave it back to Egypt. They were quite gentlemanly. But for 40 years, the Israelites wandered around in this wilderness, but in 2 days we traveled through this wilderness in the Sinai Peninsula. Just a few months before I was there, the highway was constructed, it was finished. But long time ago, there were about 600,000 Jews, just men, probably about 2 million people altogether traveled through this wilderness. The place is still the same even today. And the pastor who's traveled to this place just a few days ago told me, it is not just flat lands, it's full of mountains and valleys. And without the power of God, the people of Israel could not have passed through this wilderness. And we've actually climbed up to the mountain of Sinai, where Moses was given the Ten Commandments. And we went to the southern part of Israel, and this is the border between Israel and Egypt. And as soon as we arrived in Israel, to this side, on this side of the border and the other side of the border, they're all both deserts. But as soon as we stepped into the land of Israel, we were shocked. We were amazed. There were green trees along the roads, and there were flowers, and there were modern buildings. And even the coach that were waiting for us was a new, brand new coach. And it was completely different from the coaches in Egypt. How come they have flowers and trees in the desert? And when I saw it very carefully, I actually saw the irrigation, the pipes that are connected to each tree and each flower. And this water comes from it comes from the Galilee Lake. And Galilee Lake is about 210 meters below sea level. And this water is pumped up into a high place, 250 meters above the level of Galilee Lake. And this water is used to water the whole land of Israel. It rains in Israel, but it doesn't rain that much. And even if it rains, it is absorbed by the land very quickly and becomes dry very soon. So they had to take this water and using sprinkler, they farm and they grow trees. Even if there is one flower, they actually have to bring the water using pipes, irrigation pipes, to that flower. And as we were traveling, we saw many farms, and these farms had so green trees with all kinds of fruits. And these farms were the kibbutz farms. Kibbutz farm is where people live together without any personal possession. We don't have yours and mine, but we share. They share everything together. They have about 280 kibbutz farms. And the big ones have about 1,000 households, about 3,000 to 4,000 people living together in one farm. Every time I'm in Israel, I go to kibbutz farms. I went to a kibbutz farm where 800 people lived together, and they were living really, really well. They don't need to cook at home, because the meals are given from the dining room. And the laundry is done in laundry places, and they give you all clean clothes to their houses. The children are taken care of by the child care centers and educated in schools. And if there are smart ones, they are sent to overseas to study overseas. Politicians actually do their work. And their pay is go into the communal funds. They don't have their own possession. Whether you do this or mechanical work or farming, no matter how many family members you have in your household, you don't have to worry about eating or living. They really have very nice houses. And when they come home together in the evening, the children also come and you still have family time together. And they are very satisfied with kibbutz living. So many of the politicians are from kibbutz farms. There are actually about also 400 moshav farms, and they acknowledge personal possessions and they cooperate to do the work. And these kibbutz and moshav farms and the people from these farms are the pioneers that have cultivated the land, desert land of Israel. And they are turning this desert land into very fertile land. Let's have a look at Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 34. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, the land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. People who travel all around the world say, only when you travel through Israel, you have really seen the world, because the center of the world is Israel. And everybody who passes by, the people of the world, as they pass by Israel, now this land was desolate. Now, how is it that this land became so desolate? The land was desolate in the eyes of the passers-by, and this land will become like Garden of Eden. And I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. He said it 2,600 years ago, and it has happened. When? Now. And I have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. Who has done this? Who? It is the Lord God. God who scattered the Israelites, God who turned the land into desolate place, have returned the Israelites into their place and have made it to be a very strong nation. And He has turned the land, desolate land, into a fertile land. And that's happening right now. Let's have a look at some pictures. Now let's just have a look at some picture. It might take a long time to see the video. This is the land of Israel. You can see that it is desert land. No trees on mountains. Not a single tree can grow properly in these lands. These are all desert lands. How can you live on these lands even if it's given for free? Now this is the land where there is a lot of calcites, and this land has come back to the land of to the people of Israel, and they cultivated this land and they brought water, and bit by bit, whenever they have these trees and flowers, they have sprinklers and irrigation pipes, and this is how they farmed and cultivated land. And this desert was turned into this green land, and they grew these flowers and sell these flowers into the European markets. In the middle of the desert, bit by bit and one by one, they cultivate land and they even export agricultural products. And they have turned this place into a beautiful place like this. They have water. Now, in the past it was like this, and it turned into this. And this was turned into this. And this place has turned into that. This place has turned into this. And this has turned into this. And this has turned into this. This is Mediterranean Sea coastline. And what was like this in the past has turned into this. Now, the completely destroyed Israel is recovered by God. The desolate land is turned into the like Garden of Eden, and the scattered people are coming back to their land, and people who were scattered and were persecuted become very strong country. The land of milk and honey. It is now turned into land of milk and honey. Now just look at this. You know, they have flyovers, and they have apartments. The Isaiah's prophecy has been fulfilled. The desert will turn into a lake. Now, this is a book that was written by Unoma Sab, Japanese. He says, when you know the Jews, you can see the world. And this is really based on the Bible. If you know the Jews, you can see the world. If you don't know the Bible, you don't know the Jews. Now, in our time, Israel is being restored. Chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all round, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. The God spoke to Ezekiel and showed Ezekiel in the vision the valley full of bones, and bones were dead for a long time and they were all dry. Will these live? Will these bones live? How can these bones live? But Ezekiel, he knew that he couldn't do it, but he knew that God had no problem in doing that. So, O Lord God, you know. And then command these bones. Come together, these bones. And the bones started to move together, and they came together. Let's have a look at verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, and bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from four winds, O breath, and breath, breathe on these slain, but that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. These dry bones came together, and sinews and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over. And the breath came into them, and they became exceedingly great army. And this is all vision shown to Ezekiel. What was God trying to say to Ezekiel through this vision? This explanation is in verse 11 and verse 12. Let's have a look at 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Who are these bones? The whole house of Israel. The people who were scattered all over the world, and they were persecuted all over the world, and they had to flee from the killings for 2,000 years. They were dry bones for 2,000 years. Our bones are dry and our hope is lost. And these people, to come back to their land and become a nation, their hope is lost and ourselves are cut off. Hitler tried to annihilate the Jews from the face of the earth. The Jews lived in Egypt. And all the male babies were thrown into the Nile, River Nile. And they could have been destroyed in Egypt. There were quite a few times where the Jews could actually face near extinction. But how could they come together? With what kind of power? And after 1,900 years, nearly 2,000 years after they were driven out from their land, how could they come back to their land and drive the Arabs out of the land and turn the desolate land into fertile land and become a nation? And it is impossible, just like the dry bones cannot live again. But God can do it. God can give life to these dry bones. Let's look at verse 12. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up to your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. The people of Israel, just like dragging them out of the grave, they were taken from the places around the world, and they would go back to their land. And they have become exceedingly great army. This prophecy has been fulfilled, isn't it? What do you think? Ezekiel chapter 36 is restoration of the land. And chapter 37 is the restoration of the people of Israel. Now, these scriptures have been fulfilled in our time. Now, isn't this God's word? Well, if you don't want to believe in God's word, at least you have to have some reasons. Now, if you look at, it was this Bible written in recent times after seeing the restoration of Israel? No, this was written 2,600 years ago. And this is now being fulfilled in our time. This is what God did. God turned the desolate land into fertile land. And God gathered the Israelites into the land. And these people who were like dry bones, they were made into exceedingly great army. Jeremiah chapter 30. Just before Ezekiel, we have the book of Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Chapter 30, verse 7. Let's read together. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Alas, for that day is great. This is the times of the trouble of Israel. Jacob is Israel. So this is the time of Jacob's trouble. No, what can you compare the troubles of Israel with? It is so great, it cannot be compared to any. But he shall be saved out of it. It means that they will come out of this persecution and become a strong nation in their land. Verse 10. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and you, your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. Well, they have been punished, but they will not be destroyed forever, but they will come back to their land. And the nations that struck Israel will be destroyed, but Israel will not be destroyed. Now, this prophecy has been fulfilled in our time very accurately. Let's have a look at verse 17, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Israel was just about to die, and they were just about to be destroyed. But God seeks this nation, and He will heal their wounds. And this is also restoration of Israel. Chapter 31, verse... Chapter 31, verse... Let's have a look at verse 10. Chapter 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. God keeps them and God gathers them together, and who will scatter them again? Let's go over to chapter 31 and verse 35. Chapter 31, verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, an ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. God has given sun as the light by day, and the stars and moon have become light by night. and God disturbed the sea, and He controls and rules over this nature, and all these ordinances will fail, and that means the end of the world. The sun and the moon, and if they disappear, that means the end of the world. Now, if these ordinances, if those ordinances of the nature depart from before me, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. And that means, as long as this universe, the ordinances and principles of this universe are in place, as long as there is a principle of day and night, Israel will not be destroyed. Can you understand? Can you understand? Can you understand? Now, this is very, very important. Now, there are so many words like these in the Bible. If we have to find all these scriptures, we'll have to stay up all night. Israelites have been scattered all over the world, and they are to come back to their land, and using Israel, God will judge those countries that have bothered Israel. And there are many prophecies in the Bible to that effect. And Israel is now being restored very actively now in our time. They have come back to the land. When we see this, we know that the Bible is God's word. We cannot help but to believe that this is the word of God. Now let's have a look at the history of mankind in the Bible and summarize that. This is the dispensational category of the mankind history according to the Bible. Now, the first person is Adam, and after that is Abraham. Starting from the Garden of Eden, we can break the period of the world into a few periods. From Adam to Abraham is one period, and this is a period of conscience. Adam ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, and he could tell between good and evil, and that's because of his conscience. And this conscience is the law that is inscribed in our hearts, and that's in Romans. And other than this law of conscience, there was no other law given, and this is why it is called the period of ignorance. You know, God just left them to their own devices, and they really failed to live according to their conscience. When they were building this Tower of Babel, there was no one who looked for God, and there was no one who was doing righteousness, who was good. So they failed in living after their conscience. So God chose Abraham, and the descendants of Abraham were selected, and God gave them the law. That's why this period from Abraham to Jesus is called the period of the law. And this period is also referred as the period of the elect, the chosen people, the elect people. And starting from Jesus, the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ, and the gospel is now being preached all over the world, and this period is called the period of grace. And this period of grace is also called the period of the Gentiles. We now live in this period of grace. This is the time to receive grace, and this is the times of salvation. And when this period comes to an end suddenly, then the second coming of Jesus Christ in the air will happen. Why is He coming back in the air? To take away born-again Christians, the dead ones, the bodies will be made alive again, and the alive ones will be transformed, and they will be taken up alive into the air, and that is called rapture. This is rapture. Rapture means to be lifted up, to be taken up into the heaven. Don't think it's strange, because if you look at Genesis, Enoch was taken up alive before the flood, and this is a shadow and this is a model of rapture, where God takes away born-again Christians into the air. And after that comes the tribulation, the tribulation for 7 years after the rapture. And there is the first 3.5 years, and there is the second 3.5 years. I'll tell you up to here for now. When Jesus comes back for the second time in the air, let's have a look at what will happen when Jesus comes back. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. From verse 40. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. When the Lord comes back for the second time, what will happen? Now, two men will be in the field, working in the field, and one will be taken by God and the other left. When the Lord comes back, the living Christians will be taken up as they are. Some people will be working in the office at work, or maybe at work in the factory, or maybe selling things in the marketplace, and they will just disappear. And two women will be grinding at the mill. The Israel women, they grind the barleys and wheats in the morning and in the evening, and they make bread out of these powders. In today's terms, you know, as they are working in the kitchen making food, one will be taken up, the other left. If you look at Luke chapter 17, there is the same scripture, and two men would be lying down, and one will be taken up, and the other left. The world is round, and at the same time, Jesus will come back at one time. Now, it's night here, but in America, it is daytime. And some places will be morning, and some places will be evening. So, the time when they are going to meet Jesus, they'll meet the Lord coming in the air while they are working, while some of them are sleeping. You know, people who are sleeping, although you're sleeping, if you're truly born again, you'll be taken up. And some people may be making some breakfast and dinner, and they may be doing some housework. And God takes away born again Christians and not the other people. The world is round, that's why it happens at the same time. Only saved Christians will be taken up. False Christians who are not born again will not be taken up. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound at the time, shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bring air. And the saved earth shall gather over the other's shore. And the roll is called up, yonder I'll be there. He will take away the saved people in one household. There may be husband and wife and a daughter and son. There are four family. The wife and the son got saved. But the father, the pilot of commercial airliner, he always delayed the salvation, the chance to be saved. And the daughter was always playing around and going around to play and enjoy the life, and she could not be saved. I'll show you this movie. This was made in America.
How do you describe both a beginning and an end? We should have known better, but we didn't. What does it matter what we think we know? In the end, there's no denying the truth.
Your flight didn't leave until midnight.
Well, they just called. They want me on the New York London.
But what about Raimi's birthday party?
He's fine. Raimi wants that knight's helmet I promised him from Buckingham Palace, right, pal?
Right. Or a sword. One of those long, pointy sticks that they put heads on.
Don't push it. What does he come up with this stuff?
Sunday school. You have to go now, though.
If you want me to get that helmet, I do.
Okay.
Hey. Hey. I'll be back in 3 days, all right?
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
See, I told you there is nothing wrong.
We talked about this.
Look,
you knew
I don't
that the
have
party
any control.
Yes, you do. You can say no.
Check the yaw damper.
Sure. Ma'am, is everything okay?
It's my husband. He's disappeared.
You know what? I bet he just slipped off to the restroom while you were asleep.
Would you mind checking, please?
Okay, sure.
Take this.
Ma'am?
I think he's gone off naked.
I'll be right back.
Honey, have you seen the kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super.
Where are they? Where are my kids?
People are probably in the lab.
I'm telling you, they're not here. They're not anywhere. Hey, their shoes, their clothes, their glasses, crazy. They're all left behind. The people are gone.
I'll be right back.
I am not Mozart. Go look for yourself.
Far. Please just take your seat. Patty, help me, please.
Sit down. Hi, Mom. It's me. I just want to apologize for missing the party this afternoon. Oh, no. Are you okay?
Driver. There's no driver in there. There.
It's okay, sir. You're in shock.
There.
Thank you.
In the aircraft, some people disappeared. Little children also disappeared. Little children, the newborn babies, God will probably take them away as they are. The little kid that was at the back seat of the car disappeared. Because they cannot decide whether to believe or not, and they cannot commit a sin of not believing, so that's why they are taken away. And they don't have the chance to be saved. But those who are not saved will be left in the world. And this person is beating his breast and is crying, but he has lost the chance to be saved forever. And these things will happen quite soon. And this is not something made up. It's something that God will do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. First Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. The second coming Christ, Jesus Christ, will come with the trumpet of God, the voice of an archangel, and he will descend from heaven with a shout, and this is the second coming in the air. And the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ means that they do not mean just people who go to church and die. Even if you go to church for all your life, if you are not born again, you are not in Christ, you are outside Christ. When you are saved, you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Then you can be truly in Christ. Born again Christians, if they die, their bodies will go into their graves and the spirits will go into paradise, into the bosom of the Lord. And in the eyes of the Lord, as it says in John chapter 5, verse 28, there will be a time when dead will hear the voice of the Lord. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, if you are born again, you will do good. You will live a good life. And you will resurrect to the life. And the body and the spirits will meet the Lord who is coming back. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And this is not just 1,000 meters above sea level. This is not this world, but this is spiritual world, from material world into the spiritual world. And from that time, we will be with the Lord forever. We will never part from the Lord, and we will be with the Lord forever. And this is the biggest hope for born-again Christians. So if you look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, when the Lord comes, he will transform our even lowly body to conform to his glorious body. We cannot be lifted up with this body. We will be transformed into bodies that are more beautiful than angels. The body that will not perish, that will not die, the spiritual body. We will be transformed into this body and meet the Lord in the heaven. This little worm goes into the pupa and it becomes a butterfly and flies away. And this lowly and humble body will be transformed to conform the glorious body of Jesus Christ, and we will go and meet the Lord. And this day is not far. God turns this little worm into a butterfly, and wouldn't that God be able to turn our bodies into the glorious body? Of course he can. The coming of this Jesus Christ is very close. Let's have a look at a bit more. Now this period of grace is just about to end. This period of grace is just about to end. And when Jesus comes back in the air, then all saved Christians will be saved, will be lifted up. And all the other people who are unsaved will be left behind in this world. And from then, the 7 years of tribulation will begin. And these 7 years have been determined, 3.5 and 3.5, they have been determined. It is actually a tribulation, but at first, the peace that people have been longing will come. Obviously, this is a false peace. Let's have a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And they refer to the people who are not saved. And when they say peace and safety, there will be a time when people will say, the war's over, the world has now become a great place to live. And people will now try to live peacefully without any danger. But just like labor pains upon a pregnant woman has to go through this labor pain. And this world is pregnant with sins, and that the world has to go through the pain of destruction. And the destruction comes upon them suddenly, sudden destruction. Because it's sudden destruction by God, the judgment of God, nobody can escape. Just a night before a great storm is very calm, just like that, a calm night before a storm. And after that night is a great storm. And just like that, in the world history, there will be a time where the peace is upon this world for the first time ever. And the Middle East, Arab countries and Israel will join peace treaty. If you look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This 1 week doesn't refer to 7 days. And if you look at Ezekiel chapter 30, chapter 4, they calculate 1 day into 1 year. So 7 years they will go into peace treaty. 1993, Israel and Palestine actually signed a peace treaty. In Washington, in the White House, in the Garden of White House, with the President Clinton, Rabin, Prime Minister Rabin, and Yasser Arafat actually shook hands together, and they signed peace treaty. But that was a temporary peace, and that was to allow Palestinian settlement, Palestinian self-owned rule. But that was for 5 years, and it was a temporary peace treaty. And after that, they were going to bring in the complete peace, but that peace was broken, was shattered. And when I saw that, oh, if the peace comes upon the Middle East, then the end will come soon. And it was as if the peace was coming, but they were killing, and they were killed, and the conflict started again. But in the future, the peace will come again. It's not just a peace between Israel and Palestinians, but Israel and all the Arab powers around Israel, and there will be complete, perfect peace treaty for 7 years, temporarily 7 years. And from that time, 7 years of the tribulation will begin. And just before the 7 years of tribulation or after the 7 years of tribulation, the Lord will come back in there, and only you can live for 7 years. They will say that the war is over, the world will be a great place, and let's live in peace. But in the end of the 7 years of tribulation, then the world will see the nuclear war and in Armageddon, and before that, in Iraq, if you look at Revelation chapter 9, from Euphrates River, on one year, in some year, some day, some hour, that the numbers are not given, it's a mystery. And there will be a war with the fire and brimstone and smoke, and 1/3 of mankind will die. And we have 6 billion people in the world, and 1/3 of that is 2 billion dying in 1 hour, in an instant. And this will happen in Iraq, and that's where the human civilization began. And just next to Iraq is Iran, and Iran is considered to have nuclear weapons. Iran and Iraq, they really are one country. But Iran made nuclear weapons, and the last nuclear war, there's a possibility that the last nuclear war can happen in that place, killing 1/3 of the mankind. And Euphrates River is obviously Iraq, and from Iraq to Iran, around that area. And in the future, who knows, perhaps Iraq and Iran can have conflict and war. We know that they fought against each other for many years. From now, in the future, the war will involve nuclear weapons. And if you look at Revelation, it says the kings will come together in Armageddon, the last war in Armageddon. Armageddon, where is that place? Armageddon, if you travel from Mediterranean to the Lake of Galilee, just below that is there is a plain called Esdraelon. And in the Old Testament, it is called Megiddo. And in the New Testament, it is called Armageddon. I've been to that place 3 times. And long time ago, there were many ancient battles in that place. And the last nuclear war will happen in that place, and it'll spread around the world. And that will be the last war. And 7 years of tribulation is predetermined, pre-appointed. And 7 years of tribulation involves 3.5 years, and the second 3.5 years. And during the first 3.5 years, all the Jews around the world will come back to their land. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 39, God scattered the Israelites all over the world. But in the end times, he will bring back all the Israelites, not even leaving one. How can you possibly return all Israelites even without leaving one? Any nation, there is really no nation where everybody can come back to their land without leaving one. But for the Jews, it is possible. Do you know why? For 1,900 years, they were persecuted and killed just because they were the Jews, just because of the fact that they were Jews. And this persecution of the Jews will begin again in the future. Do you know that? Because of the Jews, the oil price will rise. Because of the Jews, the world will face wars. And the Jews are joined together with each other, and they consider themselves as the elect people of God. And they despise the Gentiles, and they consider themselves superior to the other people. And there are many people who hate Jews, even in America. That's why when the peace comes to the Middle East, many people will go back to Israel again. It is their hope to go back to their land, just like we want to go into heaven. The people who are selected in this world will go back, will have to go back to their land. The people who are selected by God will have to go into God's kingdom, heaven. So the Israelites will migrate back to their country, Israel. You go back and have a good life. I'm not going to leave New York. I'm not going to leave San Francisco because it's got the great view. They can't say that. They still have to go back to Israel even if they don't want to. So everyone who knows that they are Jews will go back to their land without exception, and that's possible for the Jews. And there are about 6 million Jews living in Israel, about 6 million Jews in America. And the rest, about the other 6 million Jews live around the world, and altogether it's about 18 million Jews. Even if they want to go back now, the reason they cannot go back now is because there is the threat for the war and conflict. And they still have to do a lot of lobbying around the world for Zionism activities, and they have to be supported by the politicians around the world. Because of these many reasons, they cannot go back now. They are delaying that. But when the peace comes, they will all go back to their land. And after they go back to their land, and they will realize that Jesus, whom their fathers killed, was the Messiah, and they will have national repentance. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I do not fear, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. We are the Gentiles. There is the fullness, there is the number of the fullness of the Gentiles that only God knows. That means the number of Gentiles who are to be saved. And if the last person of the Gentiles is saved tonight, then the fullness of the Gentiles is come in, and the times of the Gentiles is finished. You have to be saved, and you will have no one to tell you you have to be saved, because all born-again Christians will have been lifted up. And the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So are you going to give in? Are you going to give this up? Even if you have to give up other things, you should never give up the chance to be saved. Now, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, the blindness in part has happened to Israel. And that means most of the Israelites are still hardened in their hearts and they do not receive Jesus Christ. But when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then the whole house of Israel will be saved. The Israelites will go back to their land and they will have national repentance. So if you look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, during the first 3.5 years of the 7 years of tribulation, God will give power to two witnesses and they will prophesy 1,260 days. And this 1,260 days is the 3.5 years, first 3.5 years. And from each of the 12 tribes, 12,000 people will be sealed. So that's 12 tribes and 12,000 each tribe. So 144,000 people will be sealed. Not a single Gentile can be included there. They are the Jews, literally. You can't have spiritual interpretation. You can't just put spiritual interpretation to any scripture. It is 144,000 literally. The Gentiles, it's over to be saved. The chance to be saved is over. During the 7 years of tribulation, Gentiles cannot be saved. The devil says this, even if you cannot be saved now, you can be saved during the 7 years of tribulation. Now, if you try to be saved during the tribulation, and if you put it off until then, now, that's not right. The chance will be given to the Jews only. And after that, during this first 3.5 years, the temple will be built in Jerusalem. They don't have to destroy the Muslim temple forcefully. There is a way to do that. In Israel, on one hand, they have the atmosphere of reconciliation. If you go to Israel, there is a school where Arabs and Israelites study together. They say, we are the same people. Let's not fight against each other. We are from the same father. And they have this atmosphere of building peace and trust between them. And later, Allah you believe in and Jehovah we believe in. We are really believing the same God, the creator of the universe. Your father and our father is Abraham. Let's not fight against each other. And they will come together with peace. And Jerusalem is not yours nor ours. And let's just make up a peace temple for the world together. And during the 3.5 years, the temple will be rebuilt. Temple will be rebuilt, and once that is built, the Antichrist will sit in this temple. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, the son of the destruction will sit in the temple and say that he is God. And he will do all kinds of powerful things to deceive the people of the world that he is God. And if you look at Revelation, he will be given power to rule for 42 months over all nations and all people, all tribe. But the 3.5 years, second 3.5 years is the problem. During the first 3.5 years, there is false peace, so you can somehow live a peaceful life. But after that time is over, in the middle of the 7 years of tribulation, Antichrist will sit in the temple. And those Jews who did not believe in Jesus Christ until then will worship the Antichrist. They will say, of course, the Messiah that we have been waiting for has come right now. If you look at John chapter 4, verse 43, chapter 5, verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, but you do not receive me. But if another comes in his own name, him you will receive. That another person is the Antichrist. And when they worship Antichrist, God's wrath will be poured upon them. And during the second 3.5 years will be, the Bible says, there will be great tribulation and such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, and nor ever shall be. The contamination will reach its limit. And the famine, because of famine, many people will starve to death. and there will be diseases, you know, much worse than pests, and people are dying of diseases. And there will be great earthquakes shaking the high buildings and the cities. And this world will be the living hell, and all hell will break loose on this world. And the cruel tyrant will come into the world stage, and everybody will be beheaded if they do not listen to this tyrant. Sometimes, even if you want to die, you cannot die for 5 months, and you will be under pains and agonies. If you look at Revelation, it is terrible. It is fearful. And that's what will happen during the second half, 3.5 years, and this will be living hell. Rather than going into this hell, it's probably better to die, but even if you die, you will go to hell. You know, even if you're living, you'll go to hell. If you're not saved, you have no escape. You cannot escape. After these 7 years of tribulation, in the end of these 7 years, then Jesus will come back on this land. And he will come back on this Mount of Olives where he ascended into heaven. And with his coming, he will judge this world completely. And he will recreate this world to be like Garden of Eden. And there are scriptures in the Bible regarding that. This land was, this earth was cursed as a result of committing sins by Adam. And this world will go back to the state like Garden of Eden before the fall of man. And for 1,000 years, the Christ will reign like king. And born-again Christians who are lifted up into air will come back to this world along with Jesus Christ, and we will reign as kings in this world for 1,000 years. And after this 1,000 years is over, we will go into the eternal heaven where a new city, new kingdom, new heaven and new earth will be prepared. And those people who are not saved are in the Hades. And after 1,000 years, all the spirits from the Hades will be taken out. And even their bodies will be made alive. Because their bodies committed sins, their bodies will even be made alive. That's why if you look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 20, it says, "But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And their bodies and their souls will be thrown into the eternal hell eventually. The hell that has been created, that has been provided for the devil and his angels. Now this is how the long program of God for the world is finished. And during this long period of God's history, where are we? We are towards the end of this period of grace, just before the second coming of Jesus Christ in the air. If Jesus comes back tonight, we will be lifted up. Farewell, this world I am going. Before the tribulation, I am going. There is no more pain in this world, and I am going to the eternal hometown. If Jesus comes back for the second time, I will disappear from this pulpit, and many people from our church will disappear. You will be wondering where they have gone. And even if you beat breast and cry, it is no use. And born-again Christians and saved people, they are all gone. If you hear this rumor, come to my house. There will be no one in my house, and you can take anything you want from my house. Even car, even this church, there's no use. Whether you sell it, use it, doesn't matter. You do whatever you want. But you cannot use it for more than 7 years. You cannot live for more than 7 years. Do not receive it as a joke. Do not look at it as a joke. This is a serious matter. Before the end of the Bible seminar, this Bible seminar, the Lord will not come back, hopefully, because I'm sure there are many people who are waiting to be saved. If you are saved during this Bible seminar, this may be your last chance. This is something that I think about all the time. I am so busy in my heart, because there are so many work to do. So I say to the Lord, please, stay back. Don't come back just yet, because there are so many people who are not saved, even among my families and my relatives. And if you go to overseas, there are so many poor people. And we are so busy to do these things, to preach the gospel to these people. Once Christians are lifted up, whatever happens during the 7 years of tribulation, we do not need to know. But as I told you before, when Jesus comes, before Jesus comes back for the second time in the air, all the signs have been fulfilled. And the things that are happening now are the things in preparation for the things that will happen in the 7 years of tribulation. So let's see what's going to happen. We have some time, so let's just have a look a bit more. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. Now this, the scriptures like this is the symbolic scriptures. He saw a beast coming out of the sea and 10 horns, there are actually 7 heads and 10 horns. Now will a beast like this one really come out of the sea? No. If you look at Revelation chapter 17, the sea is the nations of the world. So sea is always moving and it is like this world. And the beast that comes out of the sea is the power, political power that comes out of the world, that emerges out of the world to rule the world. If you look at Daniel chapter 7, from starting from Babylon kingdom until the end of the world, the powers, the political powers that will rule the world is shown as animals, in many animals. Babylon is the lion with wings, and Medes and Persia is shown as bear, and Greek Empire is the leopard with 4 heads. And after Alexander the Great died, the servants, his generals actually divided the kingdom into 4 kingdoms. That's why it's shown as 4-headed leopard. And Roman Empire was some kind of beast that is furious, that is fearful. He has iron teeth and it breaks and it shatters everything. Roman Empire was the most powerful empire to rule the world. Since the fall of the Roman Empire, there was no single power that ruled the world. America did not rule the world. Soviet Union did not govern the world. Now, not America, not Soviet Union now, but the third power will emerge and rule the world. And this power is now the EU, European Union, Europe Union. In 1958, they established EEC, European Economic Community. And this is the European Economic Community that they formed. The purpose of the establishment is to reincarnate the Roman Empire. So they accepted Roman treaty. And they started with 6 countries. And their goal was to have 10 countries. And after that, they became 7, 8, 9, 10. And after that, 12, 15. They have 25 nations now. Suddenly, last year, they had 10 more nations as members. And they have 25 nations. So it is not EEC. So they just changed it to EU, Europe Union. So Europe Union. Now this power, this is actually process they are doing in order to make this world as one. And another thing is, that's where the 6 million Jews were persecuted and killed during the Second World War. And in order to revenge the world, and in order to rule the world, and this is really the power of the Jews. You have to know that. We don't really know what's happening around the world now. Some people do not know. The stage for the entrance of the Antichrist is prepared now. And this last power, Rome was not built in a day, and this is reincarnation of Roman Empire. Rome really was built after Babylon, Persia, Greek, and Medes. And the results of all these 4 powers is like the Roman Empire. So it is like the last beast, is like the lion and bear and leopards. And the dragon gave him power, his throne, and his the great authority. This dragon symbolizes the devil, Satan. This world was given over to the devil. Jesus is God who came to this world in form of man. Now this Antichrist, he is the man where the devil comes to this world in flesh. And this person, Antichrist, is somewhere in this world. Have you seen a movie called Omen? It's not Amen, it's Omen. Omen. Omen is, it means signs. A person was born, and this person has 666 mark on his head. And this little child is to rule the whole world. If you look at Omen 2, this kid is graduated from military school. And he was born as a son of a very powerful politician. And he has the power, economic power and political power. And this person who will rule this world is somewhere in this world. Jesus didn't do anything for 30 years, and for 3.5 years he did his ministry. So Antichrist will work his ministry for 3.5 years, during the second 3.5 years of 7 years of tribulation. Verse 5, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. This great thing is that I will give you world peace, I will give you great world. Blasphemies is, I am God. This is blasphemy. And for 42 months, that's 3 years and 3.5 years, and he will be given authority to continue. Verse 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The saints are those 144,000 Jews were saved during the first 3.5 years. These people will be slain, and they will be all martyred because of their faith. And this Antichrist will be the leader of the world, and every nation over the world will become one nation, and one person will rule the world. And during that time, all the people who are not saved, all the people whose name is not written in the book of life, will worship this Antichrist. Out of all the people here, if you are not saved and if you go into the 7 years of tribulation, you will have to worship the Antichrist without any choice. If you don't, you will be beheaded and killed. Then what will happen? This is living hell. You just have no choice. You can't help it. Let's have a look at verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, this means of economy is money and checks and cards. But there are so many counterfeits, counterfeit checks. And the card is counterfeited, and we have all kinds of incidents resulting from this. So these things will not be able to use. We will not be able to use these. We don't need cards, money, checks. All of them will be gotten rid of. And everybody will use this mark on right hand or foreheads. And a unique number, identity number, will be given to every single person in this world. This Bible was written 1,900 years ago from now. And at that time, how could they receive a mark and buy and sell in those times? It doesn't make sense. But now, technically, it is all possible and everything is in place. And people say, let's use this very quickly. You know, they put some kind of mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And once this mark is given, you cannot get rid of this. And you can actually confirm identity, and you can buy and sell. And it is possible to do these things. And they've already started on animals. And they are trying to trial this on humans. And some people are using this. The world without computer is unimaginable. Technically, everything is there. I'll show you some pictures. Now, this is money. Now, counterfeit $100 notes in the market, and also counterfeit 10,000 yen, Japanese money. And even the machine cannot distinguish between the true note and counterfeit. And even the money passes the counterfeit as the real notes. And they actually color, photocopied some checks, and there's nothing that cannot be counterfeited. You know, credit card counterfeit, credit card loss, credit cards are made with using computers, and checks are made with computers. And after about 5 to 10 years, we will have crisis using the monies. Look at all these cars. See how many cars he has. We will all get rid of all these cars and, you know, bring everything into one card, smart card. You know, passbook, bank accounts, and driver's license, everything into one card. One card in your wallet, that's everything. That's all you need. Everything's okay. MasterCard. And in UK, they actually put this chip in body to pay for the liquors in nightclubs. So when a guest comes, you know, everything is paid automatically, and his some favorite menu is given to him without even ordering. And this is the barcode that's put on the cans, and you know this barcode, and this is the mark for the products, and these are all numbers. Arabian numbers are the numbers that we read. These barcodes are the numbers that the computer reads, and these are just numbers. The Korean barcodes start with 880, and you see these two lines in either side and in the center, and these lines represent six. So you see the number six and these two lines, and these three sets of two lines in either side and also in the center is 666 mark, 666. And animals already have these microchips, and they are going to put this mark on humans. But the problem is, where do you put this barcode? Where do you put this mark? On right hand, not left hand. You can't do it on left hand. You know, they have different structures. Those without right hand will be put on the foreheads. There's no one without forehead. Now, this person is the chairman of a company that developed barcode. Look who's behind our bars, our barcode. Now, who's really behind this barcode? It's the devil. As I was walking in New York City, I saw this 666 mark on this Jewish bank building. And it was proudly put up there. And this is the number of the devil. And look at these codes, barcodes on foreheads, on this head. No, receive the barcode. And if you don't receive this barcode, you won't need the cash. And the barcode, invisible barcode, has been developed. And you can actually put all the information of that person as a barcode into a human being. And the technology has been developed. And that's in one of the labs in Great Britain. And all you have to do is to scan the body part, and you can actually see all the information regarding the person, the identity and the occupation and the income and the relatives and family members. And this is a terrible controlling world, the beginning of the terrible controlling world. One person, Antichrist, will rule the world. And with what can he do that? With computer. And the identities will be revealed, will be checked and confirmed by computers, you know, address and movement, some record, and education, criminal records, and how much money he has, how much the bank account balance is, and everything is at his disposal. Now, even now, even while we do not know everything, all our private information is now being fed into the computer. And this, using satellites, are being networked around the world. And EU, the capital of EU in Brussels, in Belgium, they have a great supercomputer mainframe, and they have enough storage room to store all the information about everyone in this world. And no one can escape. In this 666, the name of the beast, the name of the Antichrist is there. And when you receive this mark, Satan will come into you. And if you receive this mark, you are going to hell straight away. If you look at Revelation chapter 14, if you receive this mark and if you worship the Antichrist, you will go into the torment by fire and brimstone, and you will not have any rest day and night. What will you do? This is fearful wrath and destruction, and this is approaching us just like thick black cloud. You have to come to your senses. Do you think I'm saying this to you just to make you frightened? What does that result in? Do I just expect you to pay money? I'm not doing this for money. God is showing us this destruction to warn us about this. Now that's up to now. From tomorrow, we have to solve the problem of salvation. Even if you know all these things, if you're not saved, it's all no use at all. Let's pray for now. Merciful our Father God. What you said will happen in the end times happening right before our eyes, so certainly and so surely. And we thank you for making us realize and understand through the Bible. You show all these things to us, and that's because you love our spirits and you want to save us. Please hold the hearts of all people who listen to your words, and let them understand your words, and let them receive your words humbly and earnestly. And before the end of this Bible seminar, let us all be saved and be merciful to every one of us. And during the rest of the Bible seminar, fill us with your grace, and we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.